This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right back here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen, was back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Man, it's been a lot of fun being on the road, I know, for both of us in the last week. But sometimes it was nice to put the pillow down and get some real sleep and back in our comfortable surroundings here, Jensen, as we begin the work week this week. But a lot to look forward to. I know you had a blast in Morgantown as well.
It was a real just surreal moment, man, for a team that has never made it to the College World Series. They've knocked on the door the last couple of years, lost in Super Regionals 2024 in Chapel Hill, Baton Rouge last year to the eventual national champions in LSU. And this year, they finally break through. We had to wait through about a 90-minute delay weather-wise. I know our part of the country there, it was not good, man. High gusts. I know that at the Memorial, they had a downed TV tower and trees and so on and so forth, delaying that tournament. But great to have you home, buddy. Great to have you back. I know a lot of people excited to see. By the way, great post from you. And for those who have not gone to Andiamo's, I know you had turned me on to it. Michelle and I went there. Miguel, who took care of us the first time, about as classy as it gets. You don't every experience there feels better. Like, there are not a lot of places you go where the next time you go is better than the previous time. That's the case there. Thrilled you and JD got to break some bread with Miguel taking care of you. It's one of the best spots in Vegas, no question about it.
It was so well said. It was a blast being there. If you go to Andiamo's, and you really should. I love it. I'm biased. I know it's my favorite steakhouse in Las Vegas. I try to do it every time I'm there. And obviously, this is the first time since I had left. And it was so cool because JD is like, hey, let's go to Andiamo's. And, you know, Mike said, we got to ask for Miguel, who I've had before. And I'm like, yes, we do. He is the best. So it was an absolute blast. Check out Andiamo's at the D Hotel and Casino there in Las Vegas. Let's get to it, because tonight, I don't know what to expect. I think I know what we're going to get, but let's break it down here as we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Here's what I do know. It's going to be raucous in the way that people who have been to Madison Square Garden probably can't even fathom for themselves what this is going to feel like back in the NBA Finals for the first time since 99, and they haven't won an NBA title since 1973. Jensen, the Knicks, obviously, if they win the next two, they could wrap it up right there at the world's most famous arena. I'm a little surprised it's only two tonight against San Antonio. What do you make of where this number is? And by the way, the total is going up. It's up now to 216.5.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right now, let's start with the total, right? Opened it at 216.5, was actually bet down, Dave, to 215.5. But as of about 24 hours ago, actually less than that, we are right back up. So already money coming in when it was down a point. I am seeing 216s available at BetRivers and Fanatics. Pretty much everywhere else is a 216.5. Spread has come down, though, as you mentioned, kind of that game seven feel if you're the Spurs headed into the Lions Den. It was 2.5. There are some 2.5 still out there at FanDuel, DraftKings, and Bet Rivers. Bet MGM is a 2.5. Others have already gone to a 2. Fanatics already down to a 2 there. So interested to see where we are by the time we get to tip tonight. But Dave, the Spurs, all they have to do is try and end a 13-game winning streak that the Knicks are on. And oh, by the way, the Knicks have covered 12 of those 13 wins. It has been ridiculousness on so many levels. Yet, and I'll get your thoughts on it, Dave, 73% of the money is on Spurs money line. Imagine the book needing the Knicks tonight.
Wow.
And already up 2-0. That is going to be crazy to kind of see where that final number is.
That might be out west. I bet you that's not the case for Thomas Gable with the Borgata. I think he's probably going, oh, my goodness, people are going to lay everything and lay the two on the Knicks here tonight. By the way, I did grab officially 215.5 while I was on the tarmac yesterday in Dallas. So my flight back from Vegas, I did get a better of the number there. It hasn't really helped out a whole lot getting the best closing line value, but it is up to 216.5 here today, as you mentioned here, Jensen. So do with that as you will here. Still, I thought we were going to finally get that over in game two. Obviously, would have taken overtime to get it. It could get tense, but Jensen, I almost look at it tonight. We'll break it down more as the day goes. I'd be surprised this didn't get up to 2.5, 3 potentially before tip tonight. I would expect some of that Knicks money to start coming in and push this back up a little bit higher. But right now, sitting at 2, 2.5, and as you mentioned, even some 1.5 out there. Can't wait to see what tomorrow night's going to look like in Las Vegas. Crazy Saturday night there at the Strip, as we saw at the T-Mobile. One for the ages, 5-4 is the final in double overtime. And that was basically an own goal. You throw one off the board and it comes back off a redirect off your skate, off the backup goaltender, and it goes through. But really, is the backup goaltender part here, Jensen, that might take center stage here for game four. I wonder if Rob Brind'Amour makes the change or goes back to Frederik Andersen. That seems to be the drama heading into this pivotal game four.
Yeah, you know, you broke some bread with Jonathan Davis out there this weekend, and that is his key takeaway from game three, is will it be Brandon Bussey that gets the start here? We'll find out later on today. But the Hurricanes, for what it's worth, this also from Jonathan Davis, have not lost back-to-back games since January 12th and 13th. They were upwards of 5+ months here the last time Carolina has been defeated back-to-back times. So I think part of this handicap tomorrow is, do you take the momentum? They didn't get it across the line. You do all that work to come back from 4 down just to lose in overtime. What is the morale and mentality like of Carolina? And for what it's worth too, Dave, if they get the equalizer tonight going home, boy, does that shift the paradigm of this year. It has been an all-timer already just with these swings, this roller coaster, and the way that game three finished. Cannot wait to see tomorrow morning when we revisit this in earnest, what it really looks like from a money perspective.
I could not catch basically any of it being at the Apex on Saturday night. What I did gather, just from listening, was it sounded like Carolina was carrying the action in overtime. Certainly that first overtime, it sounded like they had plenty of opportunities to possibly get that done and could not get that. So credit Carter Hart for keeping that 4-4 after giving up those 3 goals in 39 seconds. What a wild, wild third period that was to get to overtime. Should be wild with the World Cup. It's going to begin on Thursday. Team USA will begin their campaign on Friday in L.A. Plus money to get out of the group stage. Group D is where Team USA finds themselves here, Jensen. Again, kind of bigger pictures. And, you know, go back, please like and subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Nice breakdown that we did on this. We'll talk more about it and get to Patrick Maher's thoughts on this as the show goes on today. But what are some of the overlying things we're looking for as this thing gets on the pitch here starting Thursday?
Yeah, certainly Spain and France, the very respected short shots to win this thing. It would not surprise me if chalk holds here, Dave. We'll obviously get it underway on Thursday with the opening couple of fixtures. I would say that some of the biggest stars of the game, you're thinking of Messi there with Argentina, Ronaldo with Portugal. Could it be the final or last dance, if you will, for both those gentlemen? They are going to be huge parts of both those squads and what they look like. Also some dark horses, Dave. We're looking at Norway. We're looking at Colombia. Maybe Japan or Morocco end up being one of those teams that crashes the knockout round. And then the ultimate group of death, which to me, I still think is Group I. That has France, Norway, Senegal, and Iraq. We'll break it down in earnest, obviously, as we get close to Thursday. And then for Team USA, getting their opening match going on Friday night out at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
We're all mutts here in the United States. You can trace your lineage back to wherever. And mine goes back to Italy. And I was looking for Italy. Oh, they didn't qualify. Way to go, Italians. Alexander Zverev and Amira Andreeva, they have got their first times. How about this? They break the ice and win their first ever Grand Slams, and they do it at the same time at Roland Garros on the red clay of Paris. If you had them pre-draw, what about 11-1, 9-1 is what you saw out there in the marketplace here for these first-timers? That'd be a nice double ticket to have here, Jensen. I don't think a lot of people saw this happening, but sometimes when you win for the first time, like Zverev, it might really break open some things here to get some new blood in the men's division.
Yeah, think about it. Carlos Alcaraz not able to go. Yannick Sinner, one of the all-time upsets to knock the favorite out. He was almost a $2 favorite once Alcaraz knew that he was not going to be participating. How about Sabalenka, too, saying after she was defeated, I just want to quit. I mean, the best tennis star out there, at least one of the top on the women's draw, It's just saying, I just want to quit. Maybe she's a little bit more worried about wedding planning here, but that's neither here nor there. Dave, we are just a handful of weeks away from Wimbledon. And that means that Gil Alexander is going to have to get up early to jump on by the books to give us the handicap there. Excited to get his thoughts in a couple of weeks' time. So good stuff out of the clay there in France, and we'll see what it transpires here in a couple of weeks when we get to the All England Club.
And just please, America, denote the way that Jensen said it. It's Wimbledon. It's with a D, not a T. I know we say Wimbledon here in the United States. It's Wimbledon, right? It's Wimbledon. It is a D. JT Poston, he what a comeback, actually, because JT Poston had a big lead going into the final round there at Jack's Place at the Memorial in Dublin, Ohio, and then really kind of fell down and looked like he was out of the mix. And then got a couple late birdies, including one on 18 for JT Poston. The motions came through there. Then he goes into a playoff with Ryan Gerard and wins it in a playoff against Gerard. And you really have to tip your cap to a guy that not a lot of people would have picked before the tournament. You kind of waited for him to slip up. He did. And then to regain control and win at Jack's Place, that's got to feel different for JT Poston to wake up today knowing you won at a really tough golf course.
It's what it's all about, right? And you had to wait. The weather really impacted not only the finish to round three, but a lot of golf played yesterday. We did have some movers and shakers in there. Not the best week for yours truly. I only got Siwoo Kim in a top 10 market through, but really an outstanding job and kind of getting away from the field. At least he was, what, four or five shots ahead at the end of the third round, one of the largest three-round leads, if you will, heading into the final round. So congratulations, JT Poston. Big win at the Memorial yesterday.
Tommy Fleetwood was nice to me. Xander Schauffele, not so much in the Big Swede. I didn't have him in the outright cards, but, boy, I saw some people getting on me on Twitter, and I'm like, I cannot control his putting, okay? I cannot control the Big Swede's putting, but I understand why, because he's very frustrating sometimes. Let's talk some Daily Docket next. World Cup soccer preview. You're going to hear from Patrick Maher next right here in VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Circa's 2026 football contests are open for business, and you don't have to live in Vegas to play. All you got to do is go out for your in-person registration. Winner Circa Proxy is going to handle the rest with your weekly submissions, so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. Winner Circa Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnercircleproxy.com. Jensen, I made the pilgrimage. I have the hat. I haven't taken it out of the packaging yet. Should I just keep it like this until we win millions this year? Like, because we can, I don't know how we split the hat, but, you know, it's an expensive hat, but I think it's worth it to denote that we are going to win this year.
Yeah. I would save it there at the Mint Gaming Hall. Let's put it out as we usually, what do we do on Wednesday or Thursday? Joe will have to remind us when we do our reveal.
Maybe Thursdays?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday. Either way, I think we keep it out for Thursdays for good luck. Let's do that.
It's a pretty hat, I'll say that. I'm not going to take it out of the packaging just yet. So, again, go out to Vegas, people. It's always fun to do so. It's well worth it, and it's a great hat, if nothing else, if luck does not go your way. We've been talking a lot about World Cup. We're going to talk more as the week goes. We'll be on the pitch officially Thursday to kick this off. And, again, it's not always been our cup of tea here in the United States, that's for sure. But around the rest of the world, this is as big as it gets. This is, you can make the argument, the biggest worldwide event. I know there's going to people take umbrage with that. And again, maybe not our number one choice. American football always is. But for the world, it doesn't get a whole lot bigger. There are some don'ts out there. And again, we had a great special with Patrick Maher. It was on Thursday. Again, like, subscribe, VSiN And you can listen to these podcasts on your time. And a really nice World Cup preview. And I think it's smart to listen to guys like Patrick before you're betting this. If you're new to this World Cup betting, you haven't done it before, some things and pitfalls to make sure you do not do.
Don't pay attention to sports. Pay attention to sportsbook rules for props and payouts. Golden Boot, top score, could be paid out differently across different sportsbooks. Don't blindly bet the overs, as I mentioned earlier. Don't ignore the lineups. Managers are going to send out variations, which can signal a type of game plan. Don't get too risky right away. Here's what's important. Risk management. There are 104 games in the World Cup. You don't have to bet on every game. Be judicious, okay, compared to 64 games in 2022. And don't expect, this one's important, don't expect Messi and Argentina to have an easy path to a repeat. Only two teams in history have repeated as champs, Italy in 34 and 48, and then Brazil a long time ago. So there's just an understanding. There is a little groundwork to get you prepared. And by the way, repeat champs, I mean, you're only going to get those once every 20 years, like we just pointed out, which I think is important.
Really good stuff from Patrick Maher there. And again, sometimes you're looking for do's, right? But you better know the don'ts and kind of draw a line through. And I do think, Jensen, that type of information that Patrick lays out there, it's really smart. You can shorten your board right away, right there with some of those don'ts and avoid some of those early pitfalls that I think a lot of novice bettors in the World Cup might fall into.
All right, so that would mean you eliminate Argentina because they are the defending champs over France in penalty kicks in 2022, that in Qatar for those scoring at home. France before that, Germany, and then Spain since 2010. And then your Italian brethren won it in 2006. That was in Berlin. I feel like this tournament, Dave, just looking at it and taking in, again, we will obviously have a lot of great guests and experts throughout the week leading into the opening fixtures on Thursday. Team USA underway on the West Coast on Friday for their first group match. It feels like chalk can hold here just because of where the depth of Spain and France, the form of those two clubs, a lot of international superstars that will come together. It feels like the chalk could hold there. If I'm advocating for people, and again, if you're going to get involved in our VSiN contest, very Survivor-esque with some NFL-type feel to it, you have to get four teams at least through to the knockout stage to be able to be eligible for the big prize. So, Dave, if I'm looking at that, I obviously want to save Spain and France. I would save Argentina. Again, this could be Messi's final ride here, and that's fine. I don't know if I would pop Norway, but they, like, if you're looking for a very nice dark horse, that feels like a team you would want to back at 35-1. I'm seeing a lot of smoke around Colombia. They are in Group K with Portugal. For people that watch a lot of Premier League soccer, of course, you have Ronaldo, you have Bruno Fernandes that are part of that outfit. Colombia would feel like a team with an extreme amount of value that if you're betting the team to win, they would have a great chance for you to monetize if you get into the quarterfinals, even into the semis. So as far as looking at teams to get through, but maybe not advance very far, I think Germany feels really nice for a team that you could feel safe to get through. The United States without, I mean, Dave, it is what it is, right? If you don't get out of the group stage, that is a massive failure for the soccer and knowing that you're on home soil. So those are two teams right away, Dave, that I think would be great. Morocco is another team that I would look at to get through, but maybe not have a chance to go very far. And then Mexico, thinking just geographically here, going to have a strong home support, going to have a couple of games there at home. So I think those would be the teams. If you're getting into our VSiN contest, you need four to qualify to get into the knockout round to be eligible for the prize. Those are teams that I would identify that I don't think are going to have a chance to move very far in the knockout stage.
And while we're looking at the World Cup when it comes to football, our American football is 14 weeks away as we are now in June. We do have some news over the weekend. And by the way, I'm a little bit perturbed at myself because when I saw the news about George Kittle, believed to be on track for his week one return against the Rams. Remember, that one is overseas on Thursday, September 10th. This number was sitting at 2.5. And this comes from Adam Schefter, by the way, that despite tearing his Achilles, having it surgically repaired 19 weeks ago, Kittle believes he's on track to return for that game in Australia against the Rams. Look, I'm no doctor. I'm not going to tell anybody how soon they can come back from a torn Achilles if you're George Kittle. It sounds great in June. It's going to get the fan base fired up. Man, we're ready to go. Everybody's going to be back week one. Look out, Myles Garrett. We're coming. Man, I wish I'd grabbed this number when it was 2.5. Because there were 2.5s out there for the Rams before the Myles Garrett trade, and now I'm seeing 3s pretty much across the board. And I felt like this has got to get at least 2-3 on the Niners side. I'm not saying that George Kittle is not going to be there, but look, there's 3.5s that are starting to populate. This is a full-point move now, and not just 1 point. It's not like going from 4 to 5. When you go from 2.5 to 3.5 that you're starting to see out there, that's money that's moving here, Jensen, in June for a game in September. And again, if you're a Niners backer, keep waiting, because I don't know that this number's coming back down. I think this is all going that way. And man, I wish I'd grabbed the 2.5s when they were out there for the Rams side.
I'm kind of interested to see the total go up a little bit. It's the only bet I've made so far, and this is purely on the travel, body clock, and trying to get used to the site where they're going to be at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. I played under 48.5. I'm seeing the 49 there at Circa. Obviously, with Myles Garrett now as a member of the LA Rams, I would be hoping that creates less or fewer opportunities for the Niners to score. I'm with you. I'm interested to kind of see where that number goes. In theory, with some of the news that you have right now, do you wait for week one? Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't wait to bet the NFL and I just want to pick numbers. Do you wait? Obviously, no. Through training camp, we know injuries are there and that happens. But when is that first time you're like, okay, investing real United States dollars here on a week one spread or total?
Oh, I actually think that you can get some great numbers now. And by the way, I think I love your underplay. And I'm not saying rebet it at 49. I probably will be getting involved in that under, because I still think that's the right side. And again, I'm not doubting George, because George Kittle is a difference maker. There's no doubt about that. And if he's there for week one, that's going to help out their offense tremendously with all of the things that a guy like George Kittle can do, potential Hall of Famer one day. So we're not discounting that. But I think, like, the advantage, when we were having this discussion with Joe Friso, our esteemed producer yesterday, I went to bet the Rams thinking that I could still find a 2.5, and I couldn't. So it's, you know, early bird gets the worm here, people, sometimes with some of these numbers. And that number is gone, and I don't think it's coming back. And right now I have no action on this game because I don't like the number now that it's gone to 3.5. So I think it is advantageous to talk about this in context with some things. Look, we couldn't see the Myles Garrett trade coming last week, and certainly that helps move that number towards the Rams' way. And you're right about injuries. They are going to happen in camp. They're not going to happen as much in preseason because these guys don't play a lot of preseason these days. But I do think that's something to be aware of. But I think if you can find good numbers now and you don't mind waiting, yeah, I'd fire on some of those numbers now. If I can find a 3, I might still get there with the Rams. But, man, does that 2.5 look so good. And it was up there for so long on the board, Jensen. And I never pulled the trigger on it. And I wish I had a little FOMO on that one. When we come back, let's talk about what we're going to see tonight with Game 3 in Madison Square Garden. Knicks sitting about 2. Some 2.5s out there. We'll discuss those changing numbers next, right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Championship season is upon us. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in our early bird pricing on our football season, and that special is just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. Full access to everything we do from every major sport throughout the Super Bowl in February. That means NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final. Those are continuing. World Cup begins this week. Major League Baseball goes all summer long. You can get your daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, we're going to release our NFL betting guide to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, and the full season straight ahead, people, just 14 weeks away. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com bet.com/subscribe. And one of those seasons might be changing in Chicago. We were just talking about it a little bit during the break here. Looks like the Bears might be moving out of Chicago into Indiana. Are we ready for the Indiana Bears? I don't know. But Jensen, in that neck of the woods, they're not happy. Let's just say they're not very happy about potentially losing their team to the cross-state rival.
Indeed. I would imagine that could be a chaos candidate for tomorrow's discussion. Oh. No question about it.
We will open up that Pandora's box a little bit later on this week. Big one tonight, Madison Square Garden. Don't get a whole lot better, ironically, for both teams, because if the Knicks win, again, we're not saying it's over, but it's never happened. Team has never come back from 0-3 in an NBA final to win. So history would say that it's over if it goes up 3-0. It would just be a matter of time, whether that's a sweep, gentleman's sweep, or what have you. Now, the Spurs. The way game two ended, you get the turnover. Wemby can't knock down the shot. You felt like you kind of had to have that after blowing game one as well. I don't know that they're overmatched, but I mentioned it to you last week before game one with your positions, with my positions on the Knicks, and I said, just hold. I think you got the better team. And nothing has deterred me from that after watching the first two games. I just think the Knicks are better. Now, certainly what we think is going to happen and what will happen can be two different things. Is there a world where not only the Spurs get off the mat tonight and win game three, but Jensen, are they potentially live still? Because if you win tonight, you can feel, I wouldn't say panic in the building, but you would change the way people feel in New York about this Knicks team. Because right now, Jensen, they feel like it's coronation that is about to happen over potentially one, two, or three games.
If you want to go just by the numbers, Dave, 34% of bets, but 70% of dollars on the Spurs on the money line tonight. Classic pros versus Joes set up here. So if you want to just take your heart and your head out of it and let emotions be bygones, then that is a pretty stark number. I get it. We're still here in the early hours of the morning, but I'd be wondering what could shift that. It would take, feels like a monsoon of Knicks money to be able to change. Now, maybe the Borgata, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Thomas Gables, yep. Like, we're going to have to lock the doors here. It's just ridiculous. For what it's worth, too, Dave, there has been already at least a half-point move in favor of the Spurs. They opened at 2.5. There are some 2.5 still out there at FanDuel, DraftKings, BetRivers, BetMGM. Other places have moved to 2. So take that for what it's worth. 61% of bets, 62% of money on the Spurs plus the 2 points right now. And I believe that's where we are at circa too. If you want to look for some player props, if you're not comfortable on the total or on the spread, Ate Ai going to go right back to some of the support players on the Spurs side. The top prop right now, and this is always crazy when you look at how small some of these numbers are, Luke Kornet to have 3 or more points is about a 31% edge on Ate Ai. It's plus $1.44 at DraftKings right now. Ate Ai has him projected for almost 4 points. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, just a hoop in the harm, and we get Luke Kornet home there. That'd be great. Keldon Johnson, similarly, on the point side, 6 or more points at minus $1.23. Opta AI has him for over 8. So that might be a great way to look. Keldon Johnson kind of feels like for the value tonight, Dave, that's the spot to look. Here's two plays that I agree with from Opta AI. And ironically, they're the strongest plays that it has projected. 8 or more points and rebounds, minus $1.29. Opta AI has Keldon Johnson projected for over 11.5. That is a great little separation, 33% edge there. Keldon Johnson, 6 or more points plus assists is minus $1.34. Opta AI has Keldon Johnson at least 9. So I think those are the two spots you would want to attack. Clear and discerning edges for him. If you want to go 6 or more points, I'm with that. 10 or more points, rebounds, assists. It feels like Keldon Johnson is the spot that's popping for Opta AI in a must-win spot for San Antonio tonight.
I would say this. If I could be anywhere, and certainly I would love to be at Madison Square Garden tonight for game three, because it's just going to be an atmosphere like the president's going to be there. We know the mayor's going to be. I mean, it's going to be insane. It's just going to be absolute chaos here. Everybody wants to be there if you're a New Yorker and be in that building tonight. If I couldn't be there, I'd want to be at the Borgata in Atlantic City with our buddy Thomas Gable. And we still have to take a Visa by the Books trip there and do a show from there at some point. Thomas texted us on Friday. And this is what he texted us before game two. Said, I have the worst prices on the Knicks in the country at minus $1.60 to win the NBA title. And another 30K wager just came in. These New Yorkers don't care. That's what he sent us on Friday. Thomas is so transparent. He's coming on our show and every show in the network and telling you, I've got the worst prices on the Knicks. And they still keep running through the window and betting the Knicks. That's where New York is with their money right now here, Jensen. So if you want the Spurs, I advise you to get to the Borgata. You'll get the best number imaginable in the entire country because Thomas is begging for people to take the Spurs. Now, at most books, you're looking at the Knicks at minus $5 to win the NBA title. You can come back here as about plus 380 on San Antonio. By the way, the MVP price here for Wemby is plus 390. So it's about a 10-cent difference. Normally, I'd say take the extra 10 cents, but it's not 50 cents. I'd probably just rather play the Spurs in case somebody else goes off to win this award. I'd probably rather play the team number. You're seeing the same number there, 380, 380. So it doesn't do you any bit of good to bet Victor at that price. If you can get a little bit longer, then I'd take it there, like 20, 30 cents. But if it's only 10, I'd just take the Spurs. But, Jensen, that's the point, right, that outside of New York where the number is going to be ridiculous, you know, not a lot of people are really seeing a pathway for the Spurs anymore to win this series, maybe win a game. They got to at least obviously get a split to even get this back for a game five in San Antonio. But if they win tonight, I do think our conversation is going to be very different 24 hours from now.
Yeah, going to be interesting, right? If you had to play a player prop tonight, Dave, on Brunson or Kat, or I'll even give you Wemby, you feel more comfortable scoring-wise for them, or would you rather pivot thinking, as we talked about earlier, that Wemby is, I mean, is it at least 30 from him tonight if the Spurs have a chance? It feels like you got to have a supreme effort for them to even remotely have a chance in the Lions' den.
Well, Wemby, you know, watching that game with Jonathan Davis at Circa, by the way, great atmosphere to watch these games in Las Vegas is absolutely insane. We see this guy that's running around with a Spurs flag and he's getting booed with all the Knicks fans that are there. I mean, it's just chaos. It's so fun to be there. If you're in Las Vegas, check out Circa. It's amazing. So we're watching this game and JD and I are looking at each other and like, boy, Wemby's just been terrible. He only had 7 points at halftime. He had 22 in the second half. And then we're really kind of marveling at watching him on the big stage kind of take over that second half. I know we all remember the turnover, and it was an awful turnover, whether it's Stephon Castle turning his back on the play or not. Whose fault is that? Should they have called the timeout? They had the timeout. We can play those games until we're blue in the face. The bottom line is Wemby was really good in the second half, 22. I don't know if the legs are coming back. Will the rest help him? But, Jensen, in order for them to win, yeah, he's got to have 30-plus. So, and by the way, that still might not be good enough. So if you made me play a player prop tonight, I'm not necessarily leaning towards the Spurs, but if you made me play it, that correlated play, say that Victor Wembanyama goes off and he puts on a show in the Garden. And it's one of those games for the ages that we look back on 10 years and go, remember Wemby in game three when they were down 0-2 and he put up a 40 burger and he just beat down Karl Anthony Towns and had outplayed him in the first two games. And it was on the road to San Antonio winning the NBA title. That's the type of performance you need tonight out of a 22-year-old kid in New York City. It's a lot to ask is my point here, Jensen. But I think if they're going to win, that's what you need out of Wemby tonight.
All right. Going to be fascinating. Any feel on the total, too? I know it ping-ponged a little bit from being bet down a point and then back up. Any investment for you there?
I grabbed 215.5 yesterday on that tarmac in Dallas as I was perusing lines. And I did grab that. It's up to 216.5 here. But again, I was expecting more scoring in the first two games. Both of those were dead unders here. Almost got it with overtime in game two. I expect the tempo to still be there because I think that's to the Knicks' advantage. Run Wemby. Make him tired. Get him up and down the court. And sometimes when your legs go, you know what goes? Your three-point shot, especially when you're 7'4". Just throwing that out there as well. Pete Jensen's going to join the program next. We'll figure out what we're going to get in Vegas tomorrow night for game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Going to catch up with Zach Cohen and Will Hill in the next hour here. I'm sure we'll talk a lot of New York basketball, that is for sure. But, boy, the Stanley Cup Final is taking a backseat to nobody out there. What we've seen through three games here, game 4 tomorrow night back in Las Vegas. A pleasure to welcome back to the program Pete Jensen. Done a great job here breaking down the Stanley Cup playoffs for us in its totality. Senior fantasy editor at NHL.com. Give him a follow on X at NHL Jensen. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Pete, before we look ahead to tomorrow night in Vegas, game 3 in Vegas was an all-timer. I mean, I don't know how to explain it. When we get 3 goals in 39 seconds and that team doesn't win and it goes to double overtime and you get the flukiest of fluke goals to end it here, how do you kind of look back at what happened Saturday night to kind of portend to what we might see tomorrow night?
No, it was a spectacular game, to say the least. You also had, you have all 3 games so far decided by 1 goal. The overs have hit in all 3 games, so that just lends to that narrative that this series has been very topsy-turvy, 2 overtime games. You mentioned double overtime. Also, Mitch Marner, who is the leading Conn Smythe Trophy contender right now, scored the fastest hat trick in Stanley Cup Final history. So much historical things happening in that game, and so much effort so far this series for the Hurricanes to keep it this close, but Vegas leads it 2-1 right now.
Pete, obviously the big question, taking from what we learned in game 3 into what we may see tomorrow, is the goaltending situation for Carolina. And I know at the beginning of the series, we're all looking at, hey, if Carolina does what they're capable of, it's Frederik Andersen and the Conn Smythe. We are miles from that right now, considering what just transpired there in Las Vegas. If you're Rod Brind'Amour, do you go back to Frederik Andersen to start, or do you make that switch to Brandon Bussy?
I mean, I would be in favor of them giving Bussy a run here. He looked good in the game 3. It was his Stanley Cup playoff debut. He's never played in the playoffs before. He had a breakout regular season, and for most of the regular season, he outperformed Frederik Andersen. Freddie was much better coming out of the Olympic break than he was prior to that. And again, you look at Bussy, stopped all 4 high danger shots faced in game 3, helped take the team to double overtime where they eventually lost on the Theodore goal. But Bussy, 31-6-2, 2.47 goals against average, 2 shutouts in 39 regular season games. So part of you, the whole time Carolina was cruising, you're just fine with that as Rod Brind'Amour. But if you're looking for a spark like we saw at different points in the postseason from teams like Colorado, teams like Buffalo, and the goalie changes work out for you, I mean, if he was able to go out there, regardless of what happens later in the series, but if he was able to go out there in game 4 and steal you one after having a very strong regular season, you take that every single day of the week. So to answer your question, I think he really has to think about giving Bussy a run here in game 4.
He's 120-1, Bussy is, to win the Conn Smythe. It's amazing to see him after 1 appearance to hop up on the board and hop up that high. And by the way, Frederik Andersen's drifted about 65-1 in most of the places there. I want to talk a little bit more Conn Smythe here because Mitch Marner is now 205, minus 205 to win the Conn Smythe. Vegas to win this series is minus $1.85. So it's a longer number, 210s out there too on Marner if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network. Now, I wonder, because the next betting choice for VGK is you have to go down to Howden at some books at 80-1. I am seeing some 75-1s on Eichel. And my question, I guess, now, Pete, is could Marner be insurance that if Carolina came back and they didn't want to give it to, say, Bussy in this instance, if Carolina theoretically were to win the cup with a new goaltender, could Marner be in play to win if VGK did not win the Stanley Cup Final?
It's possible. We saw it a couple of years ago with McDavid. We saw it previous years, way back, J.S. Jaguar comes to mind. Like, it's possible for that to happen. So I think that with Marner currently up to 10 goals and leading the whole postseason in points, nobody really surfacing in this series as a strong, bona fide Cup Conn Smythe contender from the Hurricanes. And like you said, even Howden, who leads the playoffs with 13 goals, it's one of those situations where does a secondary guy like that, albeit a huge surprise, and another one of those trade acquisitions that has just, you know, paid enormous dividends for the Golden Knights. Mitch Marner was the guy they brought in the offseason. We knew he was an elite two-way player who left a lot to be desired in his previous postseason career. So he has built that narrative where I feel like the entire hockey world is now aware that Mitch Marner is a top-tier player, not only regular season, but also postseason. So it's been cool to watch him build this narrative away from, hey, this guy fails in the playoffs every year in Toronto, to now getting a fresh start here and not only contributing, but leading the way by a mile right now for the Golden Knights.
Pete, as we look kind of at game four storylines tomorrow, is there one that sticks out that we haven't seen surface through three games? We obviously know the goals have been plentiful. Do we get regression in that department? And if so, what changes in your mind? Let me take you into John Tortorella's mind. Okay, we survive and we win. That's great. If you're Rod Brind'Amour, if you had to make one change for what they've done thus far, what would it be in your eyes?
Well, for Vegas, they need to get the power play going. They're only 1-for-9 in the series. That was the goal by Hurdle a couple games ago. They need to capitalize on those chances. And if they do, I mean, my goodness, it's going to be even more of an uphill battle for the Hurricanes. For the Hurricanes, they need more from Sebastian Aho. I know they've seen his line change a little bit. They put Seth Jarvis on the line with Ehlers in game two. I mean, that was a good move at the time for sure, with Jarvis cashing in overtime. But to me, Sebastian Aho has been underwhelming this postseason. He's got no goals in three games, despite five shots during the three-game Cup final so far. So I'm looking at Aho and trying to free him up. I know that the Golden Knights have last change being at home, but you just got to find a way to showcase Sebastian Aho, because you can't have your best player. I mean, that's the Hurricanes' best player through and through, and he just has not been a huge factor so far this postseason. So that's who I'm looking at. And then a couple guys on the Golden Knights, despite their success so far in this series, Jack Eichel, no goals. Pavel Dorofeev, no goals. I mean, these are two huge players that could shift the series at any given moment. So keep an eye on Eichel and Dorofeev for the goal props, because those guys are due right now.
All right, Pete, let's play a psychologist here. If you're Rod Brind'Amour and you do go back to Frederik Andersen, let's say, for game four, you can't say, hey, I'm going to keep you on a short leash and I'm looking. Like, you can't do that as a head coach, right? You got to instill that confidence in your guy and say, hey, you're my guy. We trust you. The team trusts you. And go do what you do. But if we're being honest, Pete, has that defense been good enough up front? That's kind of carried them in conjunction with Freddie throughout the postseason. It feels like that has dissipated a little bit in this series against VGK.
No, it's very fair. I mean, you still look at the 5-on-5 shot attempts percentage battle. Carolina has had a sizable advantage over Vegas in this series, 58.7 to 41.3, and they have led all three games. Game three was the closest of the possession battle so far. But yeah, Freddie Andersen, we know that, you know, when he's facing 15, 20, 25 shots a game, he's usually fine. If he's facing any more than that, that's where an opportunistic team like Montreal in game one, when they solved him, I know it was only one game and their only win of the series, but then you see it here with Vegas as well, and Vegas's ability to score off the rush. That's what Carolina has to try to take away, because Vegas comes at you in waves. They're getting out shot on average. They're getting out chanced at 5-on-5 on average. So, I mean, those spurts that the Golden Knights come at you, I mean, that can explain why Frederik Andersen so far in this series has only stopped 12 of 18 high-danger shots faced. That's a pretty rough high-danger save percentage at .667. Hart has been only slightly better with 0.731, stopping 19 of 26 from high danger. So both of these goalies have been vulnerable from the high danger chances against. So yeah, Carolina, to answer your question, certainly has to buckle down on those chances off the rush for Vegas.
Last 30 seconds, Pete. What is the headline tomorrow after game four in your eyes?
Well, I mean, I've, again, continuously seen Vegas, despite whatever the circumstances are, find a way to win these games in the clutch. So that's the way that I'm feeling. Carolina's putting forth a valiant effort, but they're going to need more. They're not just going to need a guy out shooting another guy. They're going to need that finishing ability. Maybe Ehlers is the guy that could score that big goal to break the ice a little bit like he did in game one. So again, the finishing ability is first and foremost for Carolina, and Vegas seems to have all the momentum despite all these lead changes and comebacks and everything else.
Ehlers, by the way, 35-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Pete, great stuff as always, my friend. Check him out at NHL.com and NHL Jensen on X. Zachary Cohen's going to kick off hour number three next, talking Knicks Spurs, Visa by the Book.